it still has the power to wash all my sinful stains. Through life's journey one day, I came across the way, a fountain, a river so wide. It's a stream that floweth deep, it leads to Calvary steep. It's the blood that washed my sins away. Crimson River that flows by the cross, it saved my soul when I was sin sick and lost. Crimson River, it poured from his veins. It still has the power to wash all my sinful stains. And the river that flows, it's a symbol, it shows the love of the Christ who died. It's his own precious blood, the anthem of his love. It's the blood that washed my sins away. Crimson River that flows by the cross, it saved my soul when I was sin sick and lost. Crimson River, it poured from his veins. It still has the power to wash all my sinful stains. Crimson River
that flows by the cross,
it saved my soul when I was sin sick and lost. Crimson River, it poured from its veins. It still has the power to wash all my sinful stains. It still has the power to wash all my sinful stains.
Thank you. Matthew 26 in your Bible, and then we're going to go to the book of Hebrews for a little bit. Matthew 26, and of course we are normally, by now, have already observed the Lord's table for the first quarter of the year, but in January, the virus, the variant was going through, and a lot of folks were down with that and just felt passing the plate and everybody putting their hands in the same plate and taking a piece of bread and so forth might not be the smartest thing to do. So we're late in the year, but that's all right. We're not given any specific number of times to observe the Lord's table. Paul just said, as oft as you do it, or Jesus said, as oft as you do it. And everything tonight, I didn't know that, but all the songs tonight have been chosen evidently with this service in mind. It's been wonderful to sing about the blood of Christ, just heard about the blood of Christ. And, of course, the choir song, the same theme. And I'm thankful for that. If you're able to stand, let's do so. I'm going to begin reading in verse 26, Gospel of Matthew, verse 26. The Bible says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" And I want to speak tonight in light of the Lord's Supper on this subject, the eternal sacrifice of Jesus, the eternal sacrifice of Jesus. Father, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to observe this ordinance tonight. Lord, I know what it's designed to do. It's designed to help us remember the sacrifice of Jesus, your Son, his body and his blood. And I pray that we will enter into the purpose of this ordinance tonight with our whole heart. There's a lot going on in the world right now that could serve as a distraction to this service. But I pray your Spirit would help each one of us at this time to put those distractions aside and to think on Jesus and what he did so that we could be saved and have a home in heaven and have a heavenly Father and a name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And on I could go. And I'm grateful in my heart tonight for the eternal sacrifice of Christ. Help me as I speak on it. And then, Lord, as we pass the elements and ponder our Savior, may our heart be warmed tonight to remember him. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you and be seated. In this passage, we find Jesus observing what would be called the Lord's Supper with his disciples. The only two elements that make up this ordinance were served. You find the first one in verse number 26, where the Bible says that Christ took bread, which is symbolic of Christ's body that bore our sins to the cross. He took that bread and broke it and passed it and told them to take a piece of it and eat. And then in verse 27, he passed the cup that had the juice. The Bible calls it wine. We believe by the teaching of the Bible it was grape juice. And that was symbolic of Christ's blood, which was shed for the remission of sin. I want to say tonight up front at the very beginning that what we're doing tonight does nothing to save anybody's soul. Salvation is not in what we're doing tonight. This pictures salvation. This pictures what made salvation possible for you and me. So he passes the elements, the bread and the juice. And then in verse number 29, he says, "I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." So Jesus gives his disciples a promise. It's also recorded in Mark's gospel. It's recorded in Luke's gospel. He gives a glimpse into the future as he promises to eat and drink with them new in his Father's kingdom. Now, exactly when or how that takes place is not the theme of my message tonight. Rather, the point of emphasis for us tonight is that Jesus promised he would be with them in his Father's kingdom. Which helps us know, folks, look, the salvation that's pictured by the bread and the juice that will be passed tonight is without a doubt an eternal salvation. When we are saved, when we trust Jesus Christ, and that salvation is eternal. And this ordinance is structured to remind us of many wonderful truths about the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for us. And one of those truths that it tells us or teaches us is that Jesus did something eternal for us when he saved us. That was an eternal sacrifice. Now, I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, the writer of the book of Hebrews spoke of this truth, this matter of this eternal sacrifice in detail, okay? You remember that the theme of the book of Hebrews is Jesus is better. Jesus is better. then several things, okay? And so here, in chapter 9, we're going to find the word eternal used at least three times. I want to point those out to you, beginning in verses 11 down through verse number 15 or so. So follow along. Here's the first thing I want you to notice. The product of Jesus' sacrifice was eternal. The product of his sacrifice was eternal. Look at verse number 11. He says here, but Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. And watch this, having obtained eternal redemption for us. The product of Jesus' sacrifice was eternal. What was the product of his sacrifice? It was eternal redemption. Eternal redemption. Now look, the Bible tells us here that Jesus offered up his own blood. And his own blood was a far better sacrifice than the blood of bulls and of goats. And because the sacrifice of his blood was far better, the product was far better. You see, the blood of bulls and goats could only produce a year's worth of coverage for their sin. Some of those sacrifices only produced a day's worth of coverage for their sin. And on the Day of Atonement, the shed blood of that animal could only produce a year's worth of coverage for their sin. But the blood of Christ produced eternal redemption and eternal forgiveness. I love that word redemption. Purchased back. We're bought back. We're redeemed. Christ bought us back from the ownership of sin and death. Mankind was originally God's, created by God, made for God, to fellowship with God. But sin ruined all of that, like sin ruins everything. Sin ruins everything. And now we're under the ownership of sin and death passed down to us from Adam down through time to each one of us. And Jesus bought us back eternally. And when he did so, he bought us back, as I said, with an eternal redemption. Our Savior's suffering for our sin is never to be repeated. The animals had to be slain year after year after year.